welcome to Tuned to Yesterday, broadcasting programs from radio's yesteryear. I'm your host, Mark Levonier. Coming up in this hour, mystery. Later on, film actor Alan Ladd stars in Box 13, but first, an episode of Nightbeat, heard on NBC on July 31st, 1952.
This is Randy Stone. I cover the night beat for the Chicago Star. Chicago's that big town in Illinois, you know, the one with the king-sized hangover. We're doing a pretty good job of putting the hotels back together and airing out the amphitheater and sweeping up the rubble of the disputed delegations. But don't get any ideas about starting a demonstration. We're still a little edgy. Yes, our town is exhausted, maybe even a little disillusioned. The big story's over. And we're long on heat and humidity, and short on tempers. I just walked in off the street, leaving my footprints forever seared in the concrete. The city room was a full degree cooler and 20% darker. By the time my eyes adjusted, I could see Gil Lovett, the sports editor, reading the final edition at his desk. No one else was around. It figured it was 6 in the evening. The day side of the staff had gone home to a cool drink.
Oh, hi, Randy.
Hi, Gil. How'd the Cubs do?
Split the doubleheader.
The Sox?
Call rain in Boston.
Well, let's go to Boston.
Randy, you didn't happen to read my column today, did you?
You read mine?
No.
Well, it's a standoff. Why? What's with your column?
Oh, it's a crazy story I got mixed up in. Wait a minute. I'll read it to you. It's down here at the bottom. Maybe you can figure an angle on it. Beats me. That's funny. The last item of the column, it isn't here.
Well, it's been hot. Maybe you imagine.
No, wait a minute, I saw the proof on it about noon today. It was in then. That is something goofy about
it. Yeah, it sounds like. Oh, hi, Dutch. Through for the day, huh?
All through, Mr. Stone. Good night.
Night, Dutch.
Wait a minute, Dutch. You have anything to do with it?
Good night, Mr. Lovett.
No, I said hold it.
Don't bark your orders at me.
Well, I'll bark plenty. You yanked that story out of my column, didn't you? After I saw the proof, you pulled the item out, didn't you?
I told you not to print it, Mr. Lovett.
And I told you it was none of your business. You stick to your composing room job. I handle the sports side.
Then watch how you handle it. Watch you print.
Why, you crazy old fool. I'll break your neck.
Take it easy, Gil.
Oh, don't frighten me, you brave young man.
Dutch, put down that paperweight.
I'll put it all on his head.
Dutch!
Mr. Stone.
You stay out of this, Randy. I'll handle it.
No, leave him alone. Now, come on, the both of you. Break it up. I don't know what the beef is, but this won't settle it.
But he thinks he's very wrong.
You're cockeyed.
Innocent people can be hurt by it. You will do no good and very much harm.
Okay. You better go on home, Dutch.
I'll go home, Mr. Stone. But you should not interfere. Sometimes it is very dangerous to interfere.
Yeah. Good night, Dutch.
Don't do it again, Mr. Stone.
Well, okay, Gil. What's it all about?
You know, that guy would have killed me. You know that?
He was pretty sore. I've never seen him like that.
Yeah. Devil of it is, I like old Dutch, but he's way off base pulling a story of mine out of my column.
What is this story?
Well, this kid, see? And I still don't figure Dutch in it anywhere, but...
Point killer. Yeah. Whose phone is it?
Oh, it's mine. Wait, will you?
I want you in on this. Sports desk, Levin. Oh, yeah, Denny. He's there now? Hello? Yeah, you bet I will. Yeah, thanks. I'll be right over.
I'll be doggone.
Well, okay, now, so there's this kid. Now, what about him?
That call. I'll do better than tell you about it. I'll show you about it. Come on.
It was Gil's story. I figured I'd let him tell it his way. But I kept thinking about old Dutch Hillbrand. He'd been a mainstay in the composing room for years, a lovable old guy. What made him heave the paperweight at Gil? And how could an item in a sports column drive him to it? Well, 10 minutes later, we parked the car and entered the swimming stadium where the regional Olympic trials had been held. The stadium itself was empty, and no one was in the pool except the kid in blue trunks up by the diving board. He looked to be maybe 15 years old, and he was going through some limbering up exercises. Gil motioned me into a first row seat and shoved a stopwatch into my hand.
Here, you'll want this.
Will I?
When that kid down there starts his swim, start your watch. I'll keep one on him, too.
Sure, why not? If it proves something.
It will.
Who tipped you he was here?
Denny Kahn, swimming coach at the stadium. Yeah, kid's about ready now. Watch it.
What, is this the story?
This is part of it.
I don't know much about championship swimming. I didn't have to see that this kid was cutting that water fast with a powerful stroke. I kept my eyes on him, except to notice that Gil watched only the stopwatch he held.
That's it, clock it. Yeah. I got 56 seconds flat. How about you, Randy?
56 flat. What distance was that?
100 meters. And that 56 flat is a full second and 4/10 off the 52 Olympic record. Yeah, he's bettered that once, too. He had 54 and a half a few weeks back.
Well, who is the kid? If he's so good, why isn't he in Helsinki?
Now, his name's Pete, but that's all I know. No last name. He's never with any kids his age or anyone.
How'd he do in the Olympic trials?
He wouldn't even enter them. He could have beat out the best of them. He was a cinch for the team, but he wouldn't try out.
Well, maybe he doesn't like competition. Maybe he just likes to swim.
No, he's competed in some pickup competitions here. That's how Denny got a line on him in the first place. He showed up for the Olympic trials, too, but all he'd do was sit there in the stadium and watch. Now, Randy, something else kept him from entering the trials. I'm convinced he wanted a spot on the Olympic team more than anything.
And this is the story you printed, the one Dutch pulled from the column?
Yeah, this is it.
Well, I don't get it. What's Dutch's connection with this Pete kid?
I don't know. He won't talk about the kid even. All he says is that printing the story will hurt innocent people.
Ever asked the kid about Dutch?
No, but I've asked him a lot of other things. He won't talk either.
Well, let's ask him about Dutch, see what happens.
Okay.
He's a good-looking kid.
Yeah, he is. I always have a feeling that he'd like to make friends, too, but something keeps him from it.
Think he'll stop swimming long enough to talk?
I don't plan on anything. Hey! Pete!
Hmm? Oh, Mr. Lovett. Hello.
Hi. I'd like to have you meet a friend of mine, Pete. This is Randy Stone.
Oh, hello.
Hi, Pete. I just watched you swim. You look great.
Oh, thanks. How was the time, or did you notice?
56 flat.
Huh? Well, that's not bad, I guess.
Nobody at Helsinki touched it.
Well, I'm glad you liked it, Mr. Stone.
Pete, I wonder if you happen to know a friend of mine who works on the Star, Dutch Hillebrand.
Well, I don't know anybody.
Sure you don't know Dutch? He's a fine old guy.
No, I don't know him. Look, leave me alone, will you? Just please leave me alone.
Wait a minute. Pete, we want to help you.
Well, you going to leave him alone or swim after him?
The devil with him.
Gil and I headed back to the Star. He was doing a real slow burn act. We were both doing a lot of thinking. I never heard of an American kid, or any other kind of kid, for that matter, who'd pass up a chance to go to the Olympics. There has to be a good reason. Whatever the reason was, it had something to do with old Dutch Hillebrand. Why would the old man care? What was it to him?
Randy, I think I'll go up to the office with you and call Farley.
Well, what can Farley do about it?
How he can fire him.
Oh, come on. Hold on a minute. You don't want to get old Dutch fired. He's a sweet guy. He's an old...
Yeah, sure. He's great. But he can't go pulling stuff out of my column and get by with it. That's all. You let a thing like this get out of hand?
Yeah, I know. Look, Gil, you're right. Old Dutch hasn't any business doing what he did. And it also isn't like him to do it. Dutch is too good a newspaper man to pull a stunt like that unless he was desperate.
Well, what do you want me to do? Forget it?
No, of course not. But why don't I go to Dutch? Maybe he'll talk to me.
He told you to stay out of it.
Yeah, I know, but I don't believe him.
Well, suppose he won't talk to you.
Well, you can go to Farley or do whatever you want to do about it. I'll call you at home as soon as I know anything. As far as I knew, Dutch Hillebrand had lived at the same address he'd had ever since he came to the Star. I played poker out there a couple of times when Mama Dutch was living. I didn't see him often now, but I knew what kind of a guy Dutch was. He wasn't a violent guy by nature. And if he risked his job and the chance of ever getting another newspaper job, there was something pretty big behind it. I knocked a long time before anyone answered.
Yes? What is it?
I'm looking for Dutch Hillebrand. Is he home?
Why, who are you, may I ask?
I'm Randy Stone. I'm a friend of his. Who are you?
That isn't important who I am. Dutch is not here.
He isn't, huh? You know, you look a lot like a youngster I saw a while ago. Boy, about 15. His name was Pete.
Dutch is not here. I don't know where he is or when to expect him.
Well, he'll probably come home sometime. I think I'll wait for him if you don't mind.
But he may be quite late. I don't know any reason for you to wait for him.
Well, it's a pretty important reason. It's important to Dutch, or I wouldn't wait.
You say you are a friend of his.
I wouldn't be here if I weren't.
This important reason you have for seeing him, waiting for him, you could tell me this?
I could tell Dutch, that's all.
I see. I don't know.
Let him in, Effie.
Papa.
It's all right, Effie. I'll talk to Mr. Stone.
You are sure, Papa?
Don't worry, Effie. Come in, Mr. Stone.
Thanks, Dutch.
You sit down. Make yourself at home. I'll be with you in a moment.
Sure, swell, Dutch.
Come along, Effie.
Dutch and Abby disappeared through the far door. I looked around Dutch's living room. It was ordinary, neat in the Grand Rapids tradition. The only key to Dutch's character were the books on the shelves, row after row of the great books of the world, and Dutch had read them. I knew that. There were other books there, too, just a few of them that didn't seem to belong. Books on swimming, championship swimming. I reached for the nearest one on training and technique. As I opened it, something metallic fell to the floor. I reached down and picked it up. It was a gold medal. The inscription on it read, 11th Olympiad, 1936, Berlin, Germany. First place, special sprint swim, women's division.
You have found something interesting, have you, Mr. Stone?
Well, yes, Dutch, I guess I have. I had to turn around to see Dutch. His face was quite intense. He himself was trembling, but the gun he held on me was steady.
I would not like to, Mr. Stone. But if I have to, I will kill you.
I've looked down the wrong end of an automatic a few times in my life, but I've never made a complete adjustment to it. Dutch's voice was quiet, but everything choked up behind it in a kind of controlled desperation. At that moment, if I made any kind of a move, I was a cinch for a chest full of lead.
You should not have found the medal, Mr. Thor. You should not have come here in the first place. I warned you not to interfere.
Well, everybody makes mistakes.
Yours is a very serious one. You must see that.
I don't see anything except that automatic in my face. I came here for one reason. To tell you, you better make your peace with Gill about pulling that story from his column. If he goes to Farley about it, it'll probably cost you your job.
And coming here, Mr. Stone, stumbling into the middle of this, will probably cost you your life.
But why, Dutch? Why do you have to kill me? Why do you want to kill Gill?
It's gone too far. I can't be responsible for what happens now.
But, Dutch, this is crazy. What's wrong with me knowing about the Olympic medal? Who is this kid, Pete? What's he to you? And what's wrong with Gill printing a story about a kid who refused to try out for the Olympic Games?
The story can do no good. Only a great harm.
Well, you've said that, but that's all you've said.
That's all I have to say, Mr. Stone.
You know, this kind of thing spreads in the newspaper business, Dutch. No other paper would hire you if Farley fires you.
That is also not important, Mr. Stone.
Well, how about me? I'm not important either?
But don't you see? I can't help what happens to you now. I don't want to. I would not have wished it this way. You are a friend. But some things are bigger than friends.
Yes, and sometimes when you're in trouble, friends can help, Dutch.
There is nothing you can do.
Okay, so I can't help you. I can't help, so you've got to kill me? Dutch, it doesn't make sense.
I don't want to kill you, Mr. Stone.
Well, I don't want you to.
But kill Mr.
No, let me think a while, Dutch. Let me think. I can't promise anything. Just let me think. Let me talk to him.
Just you. Go now, Mr. Stone. Just go. And forget all you can.
I called Gil and told him to meet me at the store. I couldn't forget much about old Dutch Hillbrand. I didn't know much. But I couldn't forget that something desperate drove him to threaten to kill me. The woman, Abby, and Pete, and the kid who looked like her were still unknown quantities. I told Gil about the Olympic gold medal.
You sure it was the 36 Olympics?
Yeah, it was in Berlin. The medal was for first place in the special sprint swim, women's division.
Well, we can check all that right now. Olympic section. Swimming. Men's division. Women's division. Here it is. Special sprint swim, first place, Abby Hillbrand, Holland.
That's it. Dutch called her Abby. She must be his daughter. He never mentioned having a daughter.
Could be his wife, I guess.
No, I knew her. She's dead.
Okay, so it's his daughter. How about Pete, then?
Well, Abby's son, maybe. They look a lot alike. Come on, let's check the morgue. There ought to be something on her if she won an Olympic title.
Well, it's worth a try.
Here it is. Hillbrand Abbey. Won gold medal in 1936 Olympics in Berlin at the age of 19. Gave up brilliant swimming career to marry Karol Kopek, a Czechoslovakian official at that time attached to the Czech embassy in Amsterdam. June 25th, 1937, gave birth to a son, Peter Kopek, resides in Prague, Czechoslovakia.
So Pete's his mother's son. No wonder he's a swimming fool. He probably cut his teeth on her Olympic medal.
Karol Kopek. I've heard that name.
Yeah, he's probably in the file, too.
All right, he should be. Let's see. Here he is. Kopek Karl, official in the Ministry of Information, Prague, Czechoslovakia. Winner of Stalin Medal for promoting Soviet friendship throughout Czechoslovakia.
Nice fellow.
Yeah.
So Pete couldn't compete for the American Olympic team because he isn't an American.
Wish there was all there was to that story.
Well, what do you mean?
Well, Dutch didn't threaten to kill me because Pete's just an alien. He's the son of a red official. The good chance is Pete and Abby are in the country illegally. If it isn't that, it's something close to it. Why all the secrecy? Why the panic at being discovered?
Hey, you're right. What do we do now?
Well, let me see. We got a great choice. We can sit on the information if our insides will stand it. Or we can call Reynolds at the FBI and let him take it from there.
Oh. What about Dutch?
That's the part that hurts. We kicked it around, Gil and I, the pros and the cons, and such facts as we knew against our friendship for Dutch. I guess there aren't any easy decisions in a deal like that. But there is something called duty that's got to go ahead of personal sympathy. Reynolds was a good guy and a smart one. I had to know more than I did. I had to be sure. I called Reynolds.
Sure, we know about her. Abby Hillbrand Kopek. She and her son Peter made an illegal entry into the country several years ago, probably from Mexico. We're not certain on that. She works in bakeries in various places under various names. When we move in, she moves out.
Well, how does she travel?
The last time, she rented a car and abandoned it.
If you caught up with her, have you any beef with her except the illegal entry?
We don't need a lot more than that.
You'll probably deport her, huh? Her and the kid?
Well, that depends. The immigration authorities would have to hear a case. She'd be given a chance to talk. We don't railroad them. Depends on the merit of each individual case.
Yeah. Reynolds, I can give you a line on her. But first, I want to fill you in on some things. I filled Reynolds in on the whole story, everything I knew about it, that is. Gil checked out of it and went home. Not long after that, I met Reynolds in front of Dutch's house. I didn't want to be a part of it, and I didn't want not to be.
I've been here a while. There's not a light in the place.
You been up there?
I was waiting for you.
All right, let's try it.
Okay. All the shades are drawn.
I could still be here. Dutch! It's Randy Stone.
I think they beat it. Even from the outside, you can tell when a house is empty.
I guess you're right. But Dutch doesn't have a car. If they're really running, I doubt they'd trust friends or public transportation. I wonder, you don't suppose she'd try that car rental deal again?
You worked for her last time.
There's a car rental agency a few blocks from here. We can check it.
Okay, let's go.
Reynolds, Running away like this doesn't look good for him, does it?
Well, Stone, it doesn't look good.
Three of them. An old guy, a younger dame, and a kid. The name they gave me wasn't Hillbrand, though.
Yeah, it wouldn't be.
Oh, here it is. Harris. That's what the old man signed. Talk different, though, you know. Little accent or something.
That's Dutch.
Said his name was Harris.
Yeah. Well, look.
Paid the money, though. Cash. That's what counts, you know.
Yeah, sure. How long have they been gone?
Well, they left the office maybe 5, maybe 10 minutes ago. The garage is in the back. I can check them. Hasn't been long, though.
That's long enough to get lost, right?
They didn't say where they were going by any chance.
No, just wanted to rent a car for the weekend, they said. We don't give them no third degree like that, you know. They pay money, sign the liability papers, they get the car. That's our business.
Yeah, well, when the car doesn't show up on Monday, that'll be your business, too.
Hey, what's that about?
Oh, it's just a feeling I got. Skip it.
Well, I was getting nothing. Let me check back in the garage. Hey, they're still there in the car. Lynn's changing a tire for them.
Let's go, Reynolds. Okay, Dutch. This is it.
Mr. Stone.
This is Mr. Reynolds, Dutch. He's with the FBI.
No. No. Not now. Not now. Abby, Peter, you must go quickly. You run.
No one's going to run this time, Dutch. Right, Mrs. Kopeck?
Oh, he's right, Papa. We don't run this time.
It was a beaten little crew that trooped into Reynolds' office 10 minutes later. A scared kid, a broken old man, and a young woman who'd been running too long, and a reporter who didn't feel much like a hero.
What will happen to my son?
That depends on you, Mrs. Kopeck.
I want to tell the truth. I will tell the truth.
That's all I'm looking for. Do you deny that you made an illegal entry into this country?
I do not deny it.
Mm-hmm. You're Carl Kopeck's wife, are you not?
I am his wife, yes. You know of Carl?
Well, we know he's a communist official in Czechoslovakia.
Oh, but before that, do you know Carl Kopeck? Because before he became devoted to the cause of Stalin, he was as devoted to the cause of Hitler. If you know these things of Carl, you know more than I knew when I married him. More than I dreamed when our son was born.
But you are his wife. You're still married to him.
Legally, I suppose. When I discovered that I had married a Nazi, I took my son, a baby then, and fled. But each time my Carl and his friends would find me, bring me back, it was not pleasant, the punishment for running away.
So you stayed?
For fear of reprisal against my son, I stayed. Then the war was over and the fear was gone for a time. But my Carl was not such a dedicated man as he was opportunist. He became a communist.
And you started running again?
Running, walking, crawling. It took time, a very long time. Finally, Peter and I reached America. To identify myself at your port meant certain recognition. Carl or someone would find us. And I knew, because of Carl, that once your authorities discovered us, we would be deported back to him. Oh, for myself, I am willing to go back.
You want to go back to him?
I said I am willing. Send me back if you will, if you must. But, Peter, will you deport him back to fear and torture, perhaps death? Can he not know your freedoms? Must he be lost?
The American approach is different, thank God. Reynolds could assure Abby of that. Her story and Pete's will be given a fair hearing. And once the immigration people have heard it and investigated, Abby has the right of petition. The decision on Abby and Pete finally rests with our Congress. And if their case has the merit it seems to have,
she and Pete can one day become American citizens without fear of reprisal. Pete's young. He may make the Olympic swimming team yet. You know, now that I look back on it, maybe those political conventions of ours weren't so bad after all. At least 150 million Americans get the chance to watch the proceedings and judge for themselves. Copy, boy.
Night Beat, starring Frank Lovejoy, is produced and directed by Warren Lewis. Tonight's transcribed story was written by Kathleen Height with music by Frank Wirth. Featured in tonight's cast were Bill Conrad, Herb Butterfield, Jeff Silver, Vivi Janis, and Bill Johnstone. Listen next week at this time and every week as Randy Stone searches through the city for the strange stories waiting for him in the darkness. This Friday, enjoy music by Mantovani on NBC.
Night Beat on Tuned to Yesterday from July 31st, 1952 on NBC. Star Frank Lovejoy was one of radio's busiest actors during its golden era. In the same year of that broadcast, he appeared in Tales of the Texas Rangers, One Man's Family, several broadcasts of Suspense, and in the final episode of the Stars in the Air series, which featured Ward Bond and William Frawley in the Babe Ruth story. This is an hour of mystery on Tuned to Yesterday. I'm your host, Mark Levonier. Now time for an episode of Box 13, called Killer at Large, from January 10th, 1949.
Box 13, with the star of Paramount Pictures, Alan Ladd, as Dan Holliday.
Box 13, care of the Star Times. If $50,000 is of any interest to you, come to see me. If it's adventure you want, this is it. Because I want you to kill me. At present, my address is 756 South Marvin Boulevard. Please come alone. Don't tell anyone.
My address is 756 South Marvin Boulevard. Please come alone. And don't tell anyone about this letter. Simon Andrews. The letter was dated 2 days before I received it. And this was one time I wish sleet or snow or winds or anything had delayed the swift courier on his route.
And now, back to Box 13 and Dan Holliday's latest adventure, Killer at Large.
But this was written 2 days ago, Mr. Holliday.
I know it, Susie.
And you were out of town, so I couldn't get in touch with you.
Well, it wouldn't have made any difference. I couldn't have made it back in time anyway.
Gee, you're not going to follow up this letter, are you? It's obviously the work of a handle.
A what?
You know, one of those persons who writes letters and things.
Oh, a crank.
Oh, but you're not going.
I sure am, Susie.
Oh, no. You wouldn't kill him.
Oh, of course not. But I do want to know why Mr. Andrews wants himself killed. And I'm going to try and talk him out of it. The fact that I hadn't received the letter for 2 days had me worried. A lot of things can happen in 2 days. So I went to the address of Mr. Simon Andrews. It was night. There wasn't a light in the big house. I walk up the front stairs, punched at the doorbell, and heard it ring inside.
Want somebody in there, bud?
Huh? Where did you come from?
Never mind where I came from. The point is, where do you think you're going?
I was going inside, if the door opens.
Step back away from that door. With your hands up.
What's the idea?
It's not an idea, bud. It's a reality. Awful real. Go on. Step away and keep your hands up. After you.
Thank you.
Straight ahead. Go on.
I'd still like to know what the score is.
About 10-0. And you're carrying the short end. Keep going. And stop at that door to the right. Get away from it.
Corley, what's this?
This is something that I picked up on the front steps, Mr. Andrews.
Bring him over here. Was it you who rang the bell?
That's my usual way of getting into houses.
Who are you? What do you want?
You're Simon Andrews?
Maybe I am. Maybe I'm not. I said, who are you?
My name is Holliday, Dan Holliday.
Well, that means nothing.
What'll I do with him, Mr. Andrews?
Wait a minute, Corley.
Holliday, what did you want here?
I came here to kill you.
Hey!
Watch him, Torley.
Oh, at your own request, Mr. Andrews. Look.
Keep your hands away from your pockets. Wait a minute. Let's see what you got in there.
Go ahead.
No gun. No knife.
I don't understand.
That makes three of us. A nice, cozy group. Here, I was going to give you this letter. I think you wrote it.
Yes. I wrote this. And you... You're box 13.
Yes, I am.
It's all right, Torling. Leave us alone.
Huh? You sure it's all right?
Yes, yes. Go on. Go back to your post.
Oh, sure. I'll be right outside the window.
Now, Mr. Andrews, what gives?
I'm sorry, Holliday, but I'm afraid.
Afraid of what?
Of being killed.
For a man who wanted to be killed, you're doing a lot of unnecessary work.
Why didn't you come when you got the letter?
I was out of town for a couple of days.
Oh, I... Please, sit down. Would you like a drink?
No, thanks.
I'll have one. You mind?
Go right ahead. It's your house.
When I wrote that letter, I wanted to be killed.
Why?
Maybe I'm crazy. I don't know, but... I was sick of living, just sick of it. Can you understand that?
Not yet. I like to see flowers and bees and birds.
You're younger than I. Anyway, I was a kind of a morbid thrill, thinking that someone was after me, going to kill me.
Did you really think I'd do it?
I didn't know. I took the chance.
Well, don't worry. My only reason for coming here tonight was to see what prompted this letter, and to talk you out of it, if possible.
I wish you'd come 2 days ago.
Why?
I want to live now. I've met someone, and I want to live.
Well, go right ahead.
I have already paid someone to kill me.
You what? You're crazy.
Not now. I was.
You can't be serious.
I am. I tell you, someone is going to kill me. Someone I paid $25,000 to do it. I don't know who, I don't know when or where, but he's going to kill me.
You're a fool. Go to the police.
I can't.
Your life depends on it.
I know, but I can't go. If I do, there'll be notoriety. I wouldn't have cared before, but I can't let that happen now.
You know, I've met some strange people through my ad in the Star Times, but if you want the trophy, there'll be no argument. Put it on your mantle.
Don't joke.
I'm not. You've got yourself into this. Now get out.
Maybe you can help. Sure, maybe you can.
Oh, no, I'm sorry.
Look, I'll pay you whatever you want. I can afford it.
Oh, sure, if you can afford $25,000 to get yourself killed. You can pay more to stay alive.
That's it.
But not to me. Look, Andrews, all you have to do is call off the deal. Let the killer keep the money, but call it off.
Don't you think I've thought of that?
Then what's the matter?
You didn't read this newspaper, did you?
No, why?
Look at the headline.
Benny Franklin slain. Big shot of gambling syndicate killed in underworld slaying. So, who cries about this?
Franklin was the man to whom I paid the money. I paid him to find someone to kill me.
Well, 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 you really locked the door on yourself, didn't you?
Do something.
Oh, just like that.
Franklin was the only man who knew about our deal. I paid him in cash.
What do you think I could do?
Anything. Find the man who's going to kill me. I'll pay whatever you say.
Look, Andrews, it isn't a question of money. It's a question of looking through the well-known haystack for the equally well-known needle. I wouldn't know where to start. Take my advice and take a chance on going to the police. Hire private detectives, anything.
I can't. I can't. Please, Holliday, help me. Good heavens, you'd give help to a dog if it needed it. I'm grasping at straws. I'm afraid to leave the house. I hired Torling as a bodyguard. But sooner or later, the man who's out to kill me will get to me. Please, Holliday, please.
All right, Mr. Andrews. But if at any time I find things getting a little hot, I'll go to the police myself. That's the only way I'll make the deal.
All right. All right, anything.
Now, you paid Franklin. Franklin evidently knew someone who would be willing to pull a trigger or use a knife. But you have no idea who.
None.
Then we've got to find a starting point. And the starting point is Benny Franklin.
He's dead, man. He's dead.
Very. But he must have left a family.
Of course. The paper says something about his mother.
I'll try to see her tomorrow morning.
Tomorrow? Why not tonight?
Because the police will be questioning her, watching her house. You'll have to wait until tomorrow. Then I'll see her. Well, I didn't like the setup. Andrews was a fool and obviously a psychopathic case. But he was in trouble. So the next morning, I saw Franklin's mother.
I can't tell anybody anything else. I told all I knew.
To the police?
Yes. Yes, to the police, 100 times. My boy's gone. What good is all this?
I'm not the police, Mrs. Franklin.
Then why do you want to know about Benny?
Maybe I'm a friend of his.
I don't know you. I never saw you before.
Look, Benny once did me a favor. Call me a friend of his for that.
I don't know your name.
It's Holliday, Dan Holliday.
Where did Benny know you?
Well, let's not talk about that. What I want to know is, what did you tell the police?
Everything I could.
And what was that?
What do you expect me to tell you?
I don't know. Maybe who his friends were or weren't.
He was killed. He was killed by somebody who hated him. There was a man named Scott.
Scott? Did you ever see him?
No. I told the police. Benny saw him often. He always went out to meet him.
Why?
I don't know.
Was there anyone else?
No one I knew. Benny never brought his friends here.
No, I guess he wouldn't. Now, Mrs. Franklin, did your son recently come into, well, a pretty good sum of money?
Money? He always had plenty of money. I never took any of it. I wouldn't touch any of it.
No, of course not. But what'd he tell you if he came in to, say, $25,000?
No, he wouldn't tell me. Why are you asking that?
I have my reasons, Mrs. Franklin. Maybe if we knew he had the money and if we could find out if he gave it to anyone, we might be able to learn who killed him. Don't you want to see his murderer caught?
I don't know.
He was your son?
Yes. My son. I was ashamed of him for what he was, but I loved him.
Yes, I know. But think, Mrs. Franklin, did he have that much money recently?
No. No, I don't think he did.
You're sure of that?
When he had money, he spent it all at once.
Then if he'd had as much as $25,000 recently, he'd have put on quite a show, huh?
Yes. Yes, yes. But what good is this?
I don't know yet. And you can't tell me anything more about this, Scott.
Well, Benny went to meet him the night he was killed.
All right, Mrs. Franklin, it's all for now. And thank you.
What are you going to do?
Look for a man named Scott who has suddenly come into $25,000. That was all. Look for a man named Scott who had a lot of money. A killer would make himself hard to catch. Well, the starting place was one of Benny Franklin's favorite places. Then another, then another. Then finally in the bar of a little cocktail lounge.
Yes, sir. What can I do for you?
Quite a bit, I hope.
Huh? What'd you say?
Look, my name's Holliday. I'm a writer, and I thought perhaps you could help me out.
Oh, you want me to write something for you?
Oh, no. But I'm interested in Benny Franklin's case.
Oh, that's so.
Yeah, he came here quite a lot, didn't he?
Well, lots of people do.
Mm-hmm. But Franklin came here more than lots of people.
Maybe.
Can you tell me anything about him?
Mr. Holliday, there's something like 5 newspapers in this city. Pick up any one of them and read all about Benny Franklin.
That's not the kind of stuff I want.
Well, that's the only kind of stuff you get.
Even for this?
You could buy a lot of newspapers for that 50.
But not a lot of information.
What makes you think I can give you any?
This 50.
What you want to know?
Anything you can tell me.
Well, I heard that Benny Franklin wasn't the big boy in the gambling outfit.
Oh? You sure?
That's what I hear. Also, that there was a lot of talk around that Benny was getting too big.
I see. But I'm not interested in that part of the story.
What you mean?
I want to know about a man named Scott.
Don't know him.
You never heard of him, huh?
No.
Who is he? Where is he?
I don't know. I don't know nothing about that.
Scott's a trigger man, isn't he? A killer. Does that make you hysterical?
Well, yeah. Kinda. But I'll tell you something, Mr. Holliday.
Go ahead. You've got $75 to fill up.
Sure. Well, you're looking for a guy named Scott.
That's right.
But you ain't gonna find him, ever.
What?
I'll tell you. And it's all I'll tell you. And then you leave here, Mr. Holliday.
All right, go ahead.
You ain't gonna find a guy named Scott, because there just ain't a guy named Scott.
So, there wasn't anyone named Scott. I didn't believe the bartender in that cocktail lounge. I didn't believe him because Franklin's mother had told me Scott saw a lot of Benny. But maybe Mrs. Franklin could be mistaken. I went home and thought it over. The more I thought, the less sense it made. According to the bartender, I was looking for a man who didn't exist. According to Simon Andrews, I was looking for a man who was going to kill him. Later that night, I decided to pay Mr. Andrews a visit. I was leaving my apartment building when...
Don't turn around. Just keep walking, Holliday.
What?
Just keep walking, I said.
What's the idea?
Turn in the alleyway. Go on. It's good enough. Now face the wall of the building with your hands up. Way up.
How's this for size?
Shut up and stay shut up. You got no gun.
Everybody seems surprised at that. Maybe I should carry a few guns to keep people happy.
It could be healthier for you. Now, why were you asking for Scott?
How do you know I was?
I got friends.
Lieutenant Barr?
Could be. Come on, Holiday. Why were you asking about Scott?
I have an uncontrollable curiosity about men having that name. I collect them.
I don't want to have to do that again, Holiday, and I want good answers.
That's the kind I don't have. Now, maybe you'll tell me who you are.
I could be Scott.
Yeah, I had that idea when you asked me to go for a walk with you.
Who sent you to that cocktail lounge?
No one.
I said I want good answers.
I gave you one. No one sent me to that bar.
You just happened to go in and ask about Scott.
That's practically it.
Who told you about him in the first place?
Franklin's mother.
You're a liar.
All right, I'm a liar. Who am I to argue with a gun?
Turn around.
Well?
Wait a minute. I want to get a good look at your face.
Do I look any better by matchlight?
I never seen you before.
I wish you never had.
Who got you in town?
Who did what?
Come on, come on. You ain't one of the mob. You know.
Well, I'm getting old.
You ain't got a gun. What's your pitch?
You know, I think we're going at this the wrong way. We're asking each other questions. Suppose we just settle down to a couple of true confessions.
Where you from?
Why?
I don't know what this pitch is, but who sent you out to get me?
Get you?
Yeah, you come in to put the finger on me.
And I didn't come in here alone. Look behind you.
What?
Look. All right, stand still.
Oh, don't. Please don't.
My, my, what a big difference a gun makes, depending on who holds it. Now, who are you?
My name is Nicky.
Last name Scott?
No.
Would you like to be caressed with your own gun?
No, no, please. Please tell Scott I won't do it anymore. Please give me a break this time. I'll get out of town. I'll do anything, but let me go.
Did you say I should tell Scott?
Sure. I was just going to put the bite on him once, just enough to set me up, and then I was going to blow town. Honest, tell him that.
Turn around. Face the wall with your hands up.
Sure.
Now, let's see what trinkets you're loaded with.
It's just a letter.
Uh-huh.
What are you going to do now?
Well, since you invited me for a walk and I didn't really want to go, I think I'd better turn you over to the police.
Oh, no, you won't.
Stop. Come back here. Nothing, ma'am. Nothing at all. Just a friendly game of tag.
What?
And I'm it. My charming vis-a-vis disappeared into the night and left me holding the bag. And the bag in this case was a letter. At first, I didn't pay any attention to it. Later, I looked at the address on it, thinking it would clear up some of this puzzle for me. And did it? Everything got worse. So I decided to go and see Mr. Simon Andrews.
Back again, Mr. Holiday?
Well, Mr. Tarling, still the faithful watchdog?
Let's go in. Go ahead.
Where's Andrews?
Same place he was last night. This way. Holiday's back, Mr. Andrews.
Holiday, come in, come in. Tarling, get back to your post.
Yes, sir.
Well, Holiday?
Well, Mr. Andrews?
For heaven's sake, man, don't just stand there. What happened? Where were you? Did you learn anything?
Which question do you want answered first?
Stop it. What are you trying to do?
I'm sorry. Mr. Andrews, what do you know about a man named Scott?
Scott? Scott? Name means nothing.
Nothing at all?
No.
I think Scott is the man we're looking for. The same Scott who might have killed Benny Franklin.
Scott killed Franklin? But why?
Could be for your $25,000.
I don't understand.
Put it this way. You went to Franklin, hired a killer. Franklin got in touch with the invisible Mr. Scott. Maybe Franklin tried to hold out on Scott, and being a man of very, very short temper, Mr. Scott erased Franklin.
Did you find him?
I don't know.
What do you know?
Just a minute, Andrews. I'm in this game on a rain check. Don't shout at me or go back to the bench.
I'm sorry, Holiday, but you did learn something.
Do you know a man about 30, medium height, dark hair and eyes, small mustache, little scar over his right eye?
No. No, I don't.
Well, he knows you because he had a letter for you. Here.
What's this?
Like I said, it's a letter.
But what's in it?
I don't like to be trite about this, but you could open it, you know.
Oh, of course.
Well?
Look. Read it.
You got until midnight tomorrow.
Midnight tomorrow?
The letter's not signed.
It doesn't have to be, Holiday. It's from the killer.
Why should he send you a letter?
Torturing me.
That could be.
Why didn't you turn that Nicky over to the police? Why didn't you do something?
What's your suggestion, Andrews? You put yourself in this hole, now climb out of it. I'm pulling out.
Oh, no, please. You're the only man who knows who's after me. Please, Holiday. Money's no object. Just find that man.
How?
You saw him.
Only once.
Yes, but you know what he looks like.
Look, let's turn this whole thing over to the police. Let them find him.
I can't. I told you before, I can't. Holiday, make one more try. Just one more.
And spend the rest of my life without my head?
Well, take Torling with you.
And what about you?
Oh, I didn't think of that.
Oh, Mr. Andrews, you didn't think of a lot of things. One of them was, how stupid can you be?
I know, but will you help?
On one condition.
What's that?
You paid $25,000 to have yourself killed. Probably because you couldn't take your own life. You wanted a thrill. Okay, you got it. You paid $25,000 for it. Now I'll pay $50,000.
What?
They got a check for $50,000 payable to any charity I name.
That's the only condition?
The only one under which I'll try to find the man.
All right. I'll do it. I'll write it immediately.
Good. Oh, and Mr. Andrews.
What?
The check had better be honored, or I won't go through with this.
I swear I'll honor it. Take it with you. Here. Deposit it first thing in the morning.
Okay.
Now, what are you going to do?
To find Mr. Scott. Find Mr. Scott. Oh, it sounded so easy. So I did the only thing I could. I went back to the little cocktail lounge and the same bartender.
Yes, sir. What can I... Oh, you.
Hello.
Well, what do you want now?
I'm looking for Nicky.
Nicky?
Yeah, Nicky. You know him?
I don't know nobody named Nicky.
You didn't know a man named Scott either.
I don't.
We'll pass that. But I want to find Nicky.
Well, even if I knew a Nicky, why should I tell you anything?
Because Nicky is due to get killed.
Killed?
That's it.
I don't believe you, mister.
You've got to. A man named Scott is after Nicky. I want to warn him.
There ain't nobody named Scott.
Nobody you care to admit you know. But there is a Scott, and he's after Nicky.
You on the level?
Yes, I am.
Okay. You'll find Nicky where he lives. 654 South Rogers.
Oh, one more thing. Is Nicky mixed up in that gambling syndicate?
I answered your question. The only one I'm going to answer. Now you get out of here. Get out before the roof falls in on me.
Well, I was playing a hunch and playing it all the way through. I went to the address the bartender gave me, walked up the stairs, and came to a door that had Nicky's name on it. I started to knock. The door was open just a little. I pushed it all the way open and went in. I stood in the dark for a moment and walked toward a window. I stumbled over something on the floor. I lighted a match. Nicky. Nicky.
He's real dead, Holiday. Real dead.
Torling.
Mm-hmm. Torling.
Scott.
Oh, have it your own way. You know, I thought you were never going to get here.
What are you doing here? Where's Andrews?
Give me that check he gave you.
You killed Nicky.
Good guess, Holiday. Hand me that check.
Okay, here.
Thanks. Now, Mr. Holiday, you're going to be very sorry you came here.
Am I? Torling. Torling.
Thank you, Mr. Holiday.
Andrews.
Quite a gathering, isn't it? Nicky, Torling, you?
Good evening, Mr. Scott.
Oh, you guessed, eh?
No, I figured it out.
Well, I'm sorry. I haven't got time to listen to it. My shot must have attracted attention.
Three men killed. You do all right. Franklin for trying to take over the gambling syndicate. Nicky for trying to blackmail you because he knew you killed Franklin.
And Torling because I didn't trust him. I sent him here to kill Nicky. But I thought the check you had from me would prove too much for his loyalty. I must go now, Holiday. Thanks for finding Nicky for me. I had no idea who was blackmailing me.
So you used me for a patsy, cooked up that story.
Certainly. One of my boys would have been recognized. But you are a stranger. Understand?
And I've got news for you, Mr. Scott. The police will be looking for Andrews. You. The higher up in the gambling ring, the man who kept out of sight.
Looking for me?
That's right. Because you slipped. Listen. You see, I made a phone call to the police. That's why they're coming. Not because anyone heard your shot, but because I called them.
Bluff.
Oh, no. When I went to see you with that letter, I only described Nicky. I never mentioned his name, but you did. You said Nicky.
You...
Look out, he's got a gun! Look out for him! You got your $25,000 worth, Mr. Andrews.
Gee, Mr. Holliday, you certainly were smart to figure that out.
Ever play poker, Susie?
Is it like gin rummy?
No, not quite. But if you've ever played, you'll know how good it feels to draw to an inside straight and make it.
I don't get it.
Well, Susie, the police were not coming for Andrews. They were out on a call to stop a fight. Sure, I didn't think of that Nicky routine until I was talking with Andrews.
But you said you called the police.
Oh, I say a lot of things. Susie, a man has to say a lot of things when he's looking at his own tombstone.
Do you mean to tell me that awful man actually brought your tombstone along?
And I... What? Good night, Susie.
Next week, same time, through the courtesy of Paramount Pictures, Alan Ladd again stars as Dan Holliday in Box 13.
Box 13, untuned to yesterday from the 10th of January 1949, a syndicated recording, wrapping up this hour of mystery, untuned to yesterday. Be sure to be with us next time for more great programs from radio's golden era. Until our next hour together, I'm Mark Levonier. Thanks for listening.